I'm Ed Rose, and this is a special edition of Citizen Kane. Today's program, available only on 101.7 WXCY Radio, remembers the days when picking native ground pine was a great side hustle. In the verdant forests that surround Kane, ground pine, a type of club moss, has flourished for many millennia. Dating back 350 million to 220 million years ago, to the Carboniferous period, club mosses grew as large as pine trees and dominated the landscape. Also known as princess pine today, their giant ancestors, along with the massive bugs that infested the primordial forest, became the layers of plant and insect sediment that created the coal reserves of North America and Europe. The modern species of ground pine, Dendrolycopodium obscurum, is a remnant of that historic past. Newspaper reports from the Kane Republican dating to the early 1900s reported that ground pine or Christmas greens were in great demand in the surrounding woods. Calling the activity of picking indigenous ground pine both pleasant and profitable work, the newspaper stated that one person could gather from 60 to 75 pounds in a day. The price fluctuated based on demand from 3 to 6 cents per pound. In later years, prices would exceed 15 cents per pound. In a 2017 story in the Danbury, Connecticut News Times, Robert Miller reported that before the advent of flash bulbs, early photographers used trays of the spore-laden plant to light their shots. Other reports indicate that the highly combustible princess pine was used to wow audiences with quick bursts of light in magic acts and theatrical extravaganzas. In his story, Miller also wrote that the highly flammable, easily ignited princess pine may not be the best thing to hang in a swag over your fireplace mantle. No kidding. Some pickers of the native pine, like John Ament of Wilcox, turned their operations into commercial businesses. According to a spring 1929 story in the Kane Republican, Mr. Ament started small crews at work, and this week we'll see the number augmented by many workers. He is also establishing sub-picking stations at Rolfe in Mount Jewett. Last year, he shipped the record quantity of 43 tons, but this year, the city wholesale florists for whom he gathers the evergreen have asked him to ship twice that amount. Ground pine is shipped to city florists who make it into beautiful wreaths. The vine, wherever picked, comes in again the following season in a far more beautiful and luxuriant growth. Consequently, the supply cannot be exhausted, the newspaper wrote. Despite the beautiful wreaths that were the end product of the pine picker's profession, the cottage industry faced increasing scrutiny over the years on the hilltop, sometimes taking the blame for starting wildfires. In extreme dry conditions, the forest carpet is at an increased risk of rapid-moving sod fires, and pickers were sometimes believed to be responsible. There has also been ongoing debate about whether ground pine indeed has the capacity to come back stronger with every season its vines are stripped. Garden clubs went so far as to band together to boycott the purchase of ground pine wreaths. In 1932, club women expressed disapproval of the destruction of the plant. In recent years, it has been gathered in truckloads, generally being pulled up by the roots, and will soon be exterminated. Human welfare is always the first consideration of club women, and we realize the need of every resource that will bring remuneration. But we will now quite generally refrain from buying Christmas wreaths made from ground pine, the organization declared in a written statement. The modern species of ground pine was not plucked clean and is not endangered. Thus, pickers can still quietly ply their trade today, very quietly. Commercial farms, orchards, and greenhouses have taken over large-scale productions of plants used for holiday wreaths, with plastic makers profiting by molding synthetic branches and needles. Alas, the day of the small operator who needed only a gunny sack and a strong back to make a few bucks are long gone. Well, that's all for now, friends. Please send your comments and story ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.